The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Now, today's guest is Brooke. Now, Brooke was actually my first ever friend on the Gold Coast. Now, funny little story, when I first started at the boys' school up here, they've been at the same school since prep. And I essentially came in maybe halfway through term one. And every single time I would go to drop off, all the mums would just stare coldly at me. And Brooke came straight up to me and was like, "Hello, I know that you're new here. Would you like to come to a morning tea?" And that's how it started. So welcome to the podcast, Brooke.
Hi.
Now, I'm super excited to have you on because we were talking just before we went live and having kids is so fucking hard. And you are always my go-to mum. Now, the reason being is your kids are, you have five children. And they are ranging in different ages from 15 all the way down to nearly two.
Just turned two.
And so I feel like you are the next level of expert when it comes to parenting, especially with the way that you do things. And I always find it so incredible the way that you juggle, have the lifestyle that you do, are able to travel and navigate everything in between. So yeah, you are definitely my go-to.
Thanks.
Now, if those of you that are listening at home do want to follow Brooke, she has an Instagram account called Blonde Nomads, and essentially she documents everything from her kids to travels to everything in between on there. And I'm sure that as you listen to today's episode, you will want to follow along. So go across and give her a follow as you're listening to this. Now, before we get started and talk a little bit more about who you are, how many kids you've got, parenting and that type of thing, I'm going to ask you some fire questions. And these questions are kind of just designed, I haven't prepared you in any way, shape or form of what they are. I know. I haven't prepared Brooke in any way, shape or form of what the questions are. But it's kind of just to give the listeners at home a bit more context about who you are very quickly.
Okay.
So first thing that comes to mind and then we move on. All right. So favorite food?
Oh, lollies, chocolate, Mr. Potato.
Yum. Oh, how good. Yes. Yep. Alter ego name.
Sandra.
Can we have context for this?
You know Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side? You know how she just gets shit done?
Yeah, that is so. And also, oh my God, also like I can just imagine you on the soccer field.
Storming the field. Right.
It's so good. That is so good. What is your favourite swear word?
Fuck.
What is your weird quirk?
Oh, weird quirk. I'm not sure I have anything weird. I'm super organized. That annoys people sometimes, maybe.
No, that is so good. That is so good. When you're saying before about being the one that always just gets shit done, that is so true. Yeah. Like you are just, all right, something needs to be done. I'm there. Yeah. Like all the time. Like even when the gym closed down, you were literally there selling stuff on Marketplace for us. Most used emoji. It's like the... yeah, that's probably mine too. Or actually mine now is the one with the little eyes out.
Yes, the new one.
It's cute. What is the worst word in the English dictionary?
Oh, moist.
It's like Trin as well. She hates that word. How do you feel that your life has changed since becoming a mum?
Oh, the best way possible, I think.
Okay.
If I'm honest.
That's good. Well, let's go straight into the podcast then. Okay. So I kind of feel like in relation to parenting, there's so many podcast books, experts in the field for newborns, for being able to navigate giving birth and managing routines. And I don't know if there's that many experts when it comes to teens.
Absolutely.
And I kind of personally feel it's because if we went to go and talk to our parents were not raising us in the same society that we are raising kids.
Yeah. Different generation of kids, different issues, different things to overcome.
And it's such different problems. And every single time, I feel like at the moment I'm calling you weekly with a new problem. Like, and then this happened.
My kids are doing this. My kids are doing that.
Yeah. And it's so hard. Like, And I guess managing and navigating parenting when it comes to teens is just an entirely different kettle of fish.
And we probably should do a disclaimer, like we aren't here because we know what we're doing. We're at the start of our journey and we're just navigating the best that we can.
100%. Yeah. And I definitely think that for me, like I'm always online trying to showcase the fact that it is not easy. And I never, ever want someone to ever consider me a parenting expert because I'm fumbling my way through.
Yeah.
And then you've got that hard factor, and we've spoken about this often, is that like the kids then are watching social media. So there's only so much you can say. So it's like you want to be like, oh my God, my kids are doing this, this, and this, and this. But also they can see that now.
Yeah.
It's not like they're newborns at home when you're like, ah, my kid's a little dick because they didn't sleep. Yeah. It's like, it's real adults that we're kind of, young adults that we're dealing with. So that's where it comes into that interesting playing field of disciplining them, making sure that you're staying real online and how that actually looks and reflects with social media.
Yeah.
And then what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your parenting? Did you always want to be a parent?
Always wanted to be a mum. I was an event organiser for big events before I had the kids, so that probably helps me to be a PA for seven people's lives now. We had Kai, and then we kind of just loved it and got pregnant again and had another one. And then when Cruz came out, a boy, I was kind of in shock because I just thought you got a boy, then you got a girl. And then we didn't have a name for a few days. And then the third time round, we tried a few different things to get a girl and still got a boy.
I love this so much because it was literally me as well. I was like, I'm only going again if I can get a girl. What did you do?
Not that I didn't love any of them any less. It was just that my heart really yearned for a girl. So fourth time round, we took things next level. We tried everything. We heated testicles. We douched with lime. We had a special diet for 4 months. We hung girls' clothes around the room for, you know, weeks beforehand. And so it was super unromantic, but somehow we ended up getting her. And then she started school and we just didn't feel like we were, you know, that we'd had enough and that we still wanted a little person in the house. They bring so much joy and stuff to the whole family. So, yeah, we went back again and had Cove. So four boys, one girl.
Yeah. I actually had my memories pop up of when Cove was only like 3 or 4 months old down at Kingy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he was so small. Like it literally happens so fast.
Goes so fast. Sure does.
Now, you absolutely nail the whole juggling of five kids, but also without the sacrifice of
travel.
You're
not in our house either.
No.
You don't see everything that goes on.
But you literally nail the whole travel experiences and making sure that the kids are always doing something. Is that like a big part of the way that you choose to raise your children?
Yeah, I think so. I think without having a parenting philosophy as such, quality time is our number one go-to.
Yeah.
We've had a motorhome since Lola was born, and whenever things start to go pear-shaped or we just feel like we need a bit of reconnection, everyone in the motorhome, we're going for the weekend, duck down to Byron for the night, you know, pull up at the beach, everybody gets out, they go for a surf, we have lunch, and everybody just reconnects and sort of, then we can come home and get back to life. But I think for us, that kind of quality time spent in nature and kids being in sport is my big three.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, they're really, really good take-homes. When you do talk about the motorhome, how old was Lola the youngest time when you guys went away?
So Lola was 4 months old when we picked it up and we got it from Karratha. Somebody drove it back to Sydney. We flew down and then we just potted our way back up home.
For a lot of parents that are listening at home, they would be like, how did you travel with a four-month-old? And I think that's kind of really what I want to express and articulate here is that even though you have five kids ranging from the ages of 2 to 15, you're about to embark again on a huge overseas adventure. And the kids' experiences, and I'm saying this because I obviously have seen the experiences and stuff, but if you are listening at home, please go and check out Brooke's Instagram because you'll understand what I mean. But experiences from hiring a boat around the Whitsundays and learning to like sail it, snorkeling, spearfishing, surfing.
I think we choose to put money into holidays and life experiences versus having expensive cars and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like you say, we just woke up 5 weeks ago, realised that we're mid-40s and that we've got an eldest child about to go into grade 11 and just had an epiphany that our dream of extended travel with the kids is coming to an end if we don't do it soon. So 5 kids, 5 surfboards, 3 foil boards, wingdings, fishing gear, everything, and a 2-year-old and a backpack. We're going to go, yeah, around the world for the 3 months in term 3.
Yeah, that is so exciting. Yeah. I'm so excited to be able to watch at home and live vicariously through you guys.
It'll be good for the laughs, I think, if nothing else. Trying to get that many people and that much luggage around the world.
But for a lot of people, though, that would be so daunting, but you just take it on head first. You're just like, yep.
Yeah, I think if you want the experiences, you've got to deal with all the other stuff that goes with it. But, yeah, it helps being organised and, like some people would be daunted by that kind of logistical nightmare.
Now, when it comes to that many kids, and I know that I've said that you were literally my go-to when it comes to any experiences that I'm having, the girls are too young to have, in my opinion.
I think
opinion.
We need to have this conversation again in 6 or 7 years' time when it's the girls going through teenage.
No, the girls are going to be angels. I'm literally cementing this now in history. The girls will be angels and I will not have any problems with them when they are teens.
I've got a girlfriend who's got 3 boys and then a girl, and she always says, like, they're 10 years ahead of us, that if she had have just had the boys, she would have been looking at other parents who were having trouble and thinking that there was something wrong with them until she got her daughter.
Don't!
And then she was like, holy moly, it was a whole new ball game. So
no.
You think it's trouble with the boys now?
It's so hard because I feel like with the boys and navigating the teen discipline. So with the twins, I'm like, if I can easily do cause and effect. I can be like, if you do this, this happens. And they stop and they're like, oh, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And then they stop and that's the end of the conversation. And then they're like, I'm not going to do that because I'll hurt myself. And that's usually the only reason.
I'm going to have my iPad taken off me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna,
yeah. And it's very logical and they're very much like, yeah. And then I've got a 15-year-old. And
it doesn't care.
No. And I could literally say to him, you're going to have your phone taken away, your computer taken away, and this is what's going to happen. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And so then it's like, and then what? And the
Where
only-
Where do I go from here?
You. I go to you. And that's the interesting thing about it as well is learning how to actually discipline in a way that feels right for me.
Yeah.
Because I've always been somebody that doesn't physically discipline my children, and that's just the decision that I made. But now I'm like, I want to throttle you. Like, he's 6 foot. He's bigger than me. And I'm like, how do I even
I know.
Help
and
you
it happened
understand?
Overnight, didn't it? It's like 1 minute they were down here and you could talk over them and then next minute they're over the top of you.
So do you have any advice for me? help me out. And it's also hard as well because, like, I know we've had these conversations so many times about we want what's best for our kids. Yeah. And so it's that level of trying to teach them and educate them whilst giving them the life that you want them to have, and then them learning to appreciate it and value it.
Yeah.
And that's the fine line and the juggle of being able to be like, here is the value in this. Do you understand that? Like, this has got so much, this is how many hours I have to work to give you this.
Yeah.
Do you even appreciate that?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to get them to understand, the value of money or, even like where we live, like growing up, like, it was unachievable. And our kids, they live near the ocean and they just don't even understand how blessed they are to have that at their doorstep. So it's, I don't know the answer.
and this is the thing. It literally just feels like whenever we've got these questions of like, how? There's that's it. You go, okay, how? And other than Maggie Dent, there's probably no.
I love Maggie Dent.
I know.
She's my favorite.
I know. And she's so amazing.
Probably because you've got boys and so have I.
Yeah. And I think because I haven't really had any experiences with the twins where I've been out of my depth of being don't do this or this is why we do this or I feel like with parenting the twins, it's quite easy at the moment in relation to the problems
Teenage.
Of the teens.
Yeah, and they're trying to find themselves and, swim off the reef, as we say. But
or metaphorically and literally because the other day we were talking about stupid decisions and that was our dinner time conversations that we were having, and Andrew was saying, when I first got my license, I stupid things that I just won't even repeat. But he was like, I did stupid things. And Kai was like, yeah, well, remember that one time that I backflipped off of the bridge with my bike? And we all just went.
And we all saw it on Instagram and messaged you.
That's why you don't have Instagram anymore, mate. And it's those things where he's like, oh, that was so cool.
I think they're, like Maggie says, their brains just leave their body and they are unable to make good decisions.
I listened to one of her most recent podcasts in relation to how teenage boys, their dopamine hit actually expires after like 20 minutes and then they have to stand up. And she was teaching one day and these boys were literally walking around the classrooms moving and she's like, what are you doing? And they were like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing this. And then you're like, that's the whole thing of it though. And when I sit down with the boys, I'm like, why would you do that? They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's actually that level of like,
I want to have an explanation as to why I did it, but I genuinely don't know why I did it.
No.
Yeah.
And then even when we talk about like budgeting and things like that, like we sat down and we worked out how much we were spending on everyday type things that they were getting. So like tuck shops and haircuts or $10 presents for this person and $5 here and all of the expenses and worked out a budget according to those expenses and what I was already spending.
Yeah.
And so it kickstarted last month. I had a really clear plan. And you know when you've got something in your head where you're like, this is going to be so good.
Yeah.
You're going to learn budgeting. You're going to learn the value of money.
Yeah.
3rd of May. And I don't know whether they thought I maybe couldn't see their accounts. It was at zero, 3 days in, zero. And I was like, how did
you
spend
all that money?
I bought a new pair of shoes. And I was like, that's your food money for tuck shop.
Yeah.
And so then instead of being like, okay, now I'm in a real pickle, I'll make my lunch.
Yeah.
I went to the school and told the teachers I didn't have any lunch.
Oh, stop it.
No. And so then you're like, so I actually had to email the school and be like,
don't feed him.
Don't feed my son. Don't judge my parenting, but also don't feed my son in the nicest way possible because it's like we have an entire.
They're just taking you for a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing as well. I feel like as parents, we're so quick to judge other parents.
Yeah.
And as teachers, they're probably judging me for not giving my son tuck shop.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to teach him a lesson. And it's so hard to not judge other parents, but also knowing like if somebody is like 10 years above where you're currently at within your parenting journey. Hang on, sister.
Yeah.
Like it's a wild ride.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting thing. That was all I wanted to say in relation to that. Now, with your van trips and the places that you have been in Australia, do you have any recommendations for people that are listening at home of where to go, the favourite things that you like to do? You're like, I don't want to tell anyone my secrets because then they'll be busy.
Oh, look, to be honest, we've only done – the kids love to surf. Clint loves to surf. So we kind of stick to the coast. So we've always wanted to do the lap around, but the time's never there. You know, the money's never there.
Yeah.
So we've kind of just taken 3 or 4 week trips down the coast and gone from the Goldie down as far as the Great Ocean Road. That was one of our best trips probably. All the way down the east coast. The bushfires were on, so we had to cut in and then head down. But it's beautiful down there along the south coast.
Yeah, it's so interesting as well. I think that the last couple of years with COVID and things like that, more people are travelling in Australia than ever before.
Yeah.
And our coastlines are so beautiful.
We're so spoiled. You know, you can go anywhere in the world, but here we're just so spoiled. All the way from the Gold Coast to, you know, south of Sydney, we did Bendalong and all that. You know, the kids were hand feeding stingrays in the water and, yeah, we're really lucky here in Australia.
And if anybody was looking for like a motorhome or that sort of thing or experience, because I know that this – actually, I'm pretty certain that the prices now of motorhomes, caravans and campervans are almost double based on the whole COVID –
yeah.
Situation.
Yeah.
And you're getting rid of your motorhome, hey?
We are going to, yeah.
Yeah. And so in relation to travelling in Australia, do you honestly still believe that's the way to go with motorhomes?
Oh, we love the motorhome because it just sort of gave us the freedom to jump in on the weekends and that kind of thing, whereas Clint's not super confident backing a caravan. But, yeah, caravan, campervan, whatever, a tent, you know, just throw your kids in and, I mean, if you've got 5, you've got to take a lot of stuff if you take a tent, but which was why we got the motorhome because everything's set up in there ready to go, you know. But, yeah, I think that's the best part of childhood is being able to just go camping and experience the outdoors.
Yeah. Have you ever considered homeschooling?
Yeah.
And
we did. We have, yeah. And we would have done that if we had have been able to do the lap around Australia for sure.
Yeah.
Homeschooling during COVID with like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Was a bit of a nightmare and a bit of an eye-opener to me. But I think that was probably pretty different to what, you know, distance education or something like that would be if you were going to actually do the trip around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I say go for it. Now's the time.
Yeah. It's funny like how much has shifted for so many people over the last couple of years of having schooling systems change and everything else. And I know that you made the decision to move schools, what,
yep.
2 years ago?
Yeah, 18 months ago.
Do you yep. believe that that had an impact on the kids? If you could do it all again, would you have started them in different schools? Like how?
Look, to be honest, I think we loved our time at yep. the private school, and I think it gave the kids a beautiful base for their values and morals and that kind of thing. Come high school, they just kind of – they didn't have any friends that lived locally that yep. were into the same stuff as what they were. Now they're at a school where they do, you know, surf life-saving excellence. They're paddling out on the creek, doing gym for one lesson a week. And I think for boys that's amazing because it breaks up the monotony of the education side of things, gives them a bit of an outlet to run around, release some energy and then come back into class and make the most of the subjects, you know, that matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ride to school with their mates, they catch up for a surf straight after school and stuff. So they're loving it.
Yeah. It's interesting when it comes to education because my whole my goals personally when I started my business was to make sure that I could send my kids to a private school.
Yeah.
And now I personally, and this again, I'm not an expert, it's just my personal opinion, I personally don't value the private school system or education as highly as what I did before I had become a part of that.
Yeah.
And I think as well having the twins in the school that they're in and seeing a different way and a different method and a different education system in which they are going through,
yeah.
there's so many different variations to that too. And I do think that you could have kids that are always going to do well in whatever school you put them in, regardless of whether that's private or public. Sorry, go.
Do well or not do well.
100%.
And fall in with the wrong crowd. There's the wrong crowd wherever you go. You know, when Kai started, he was at the new school.
Yeah.
He was mortified that he was sitting on 30-year-old wooden chairs and there was a fan moving hot air around, you know, because he was so spoiled. He'd
yeah.
had, you know, beautiful furniture and all the air con and all that kind of thing. But great teachers are at every different school.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your child puts the work in, they're going to do well wherever they are. So the furniture and all that doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. And that's, I think, yeah, I wish I had known. Well, I guess I wouldn't have known because it's been my personal experience of that.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like moving forward with the twins and their schooling and their education and things like
You're
that.
You're open to different
yeah.
options.
Well, the way that the girls' school is set up is that every year level is in one classroom with numerous teachers.
Yeah.
And that works.
I think they're all moving in that
yeah.
sort of direction now.
And that collective sort of collaborating environment as well.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, especially for the twins, obviously being twins, they want to be able to see each other, but they like to have their own friends. That works really well because it means we don't have to separate them.
Yeah.
And they're in the same room. And they're able to have their own friends as well.
I think that's a whole nother conversation for another day because I know a lot of people at the moment that have moved their kids from some schools, you know, because of that situation, because their kids are so shy, they're too scared to put their hand up in a big
group
you know, when there's three classes all in together, they're
yep.
too shy, they don't want to, you know, make a fuss of themselves and that kind of thing. So, again, it works
yeah.
for some kids and
yep.
it doesn't work for other kids.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? It kind of makes you do question the whole education system of one size fits all
yeah.
and how that looks, that there isn't a right or wrong
no.
In regards to schools either.
No, and I think as a parent you just need to stay on top of your own kid and know how they're doing, be on top of the teachers, my kid needs help here, you know, and now as Kai's getting older, just having them know that they can go to the teachers and ask for help, you know, helps as well.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I do think as well empowering them to be able to actually ask for help, knowing
yeah.
that the teachers aren't against them.
Yeah, that's right. That they're there for them.
Yeah, that yeah. like they're actually there to help you and support you, not to tell you off all the time. They're
yeah.
only telling you off all the time because of your actions. You know what I mean? Like that
yeah.
cause and effect continues
yep.
on. In relation to parenting your daughter versus the sons, have you noticed a big difference in that? she's also one girl out of five.
I don't think so. I think, I guess we're kind of hoping that, you know, as we watch the boys go through school and grow up, that the drama that comes with girls and the bitchiness, and it starts so young. And I just really hope that having older brothers, that she's just going to be no nonsense, you know, and not put up with any of that stuff, move on from girls who want to be involved in that kind of stuff, because the boys don't have time for that. They're too busy, you know, and she's a little bit the same, you know. She's in sport, she's in nippers, she's playing soccer, she's surfing, she's dancing, you know, like yeah. She's just, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we're having the conversation the other day about when we're in high school, we're like, oh, it's that typical high school behaviour. And then it actually doesn't ever go away.
No.
And even now, there's literally gossip websites set up to literally backstab or be a bitch and gossip about people. And that's now considered normal part of society.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to think that when I was in high school, it was like, I was like, I've just got to get to, in my head, I was like, I've just got to get to 30 and then it's going to go away. That was everything. I was like, once I'm at 30, like no one's going to be horrible anymore.
Yeah.
And it's literally part of my day to day now to know that people are gossiping about me behind my back. And obviously it's my lifestyle too.
Yeah.
However, it's just common practice and it's never goes away.
As you get older though, like I feel like I'm mid 40s now and you just don't have time for that. You don't have time for the bullshit.
Yeah.
You don't have time for the friends who, yeah, bitching and, you know, just.
100%. Yeah. And you are definitely one of those people that are 100% a straight shooter. Like if you've got a problem, you will call me up and be like, you did this, 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 and this, and this, and let's work through it.
Yeah.
So it is really good to have people like that that 100% call you on your bullshit. But I think that's a really important thing, especially for mums of teen girls.
Yeah.
To empower their daughters to actually walk away from situations like that.
That's right, and
like
not take
too.
It on board.
No.
You know, like water off a duck's back, just let it go.
It's so hard when you are that.
But it's hard when you're that age.
12 to 14 to 15-year-old girl and all you're wanting to do is fit in.
Yeah, and I think they're, you know, with the whole Instagram thing and all that kind of thing, the whole concept is to have as many friends as possible when really you only need a few good quality ones to get you through life.
And also it's so hard to maintain.
Yeah.
Like when you've got fucking 10 million kids like us, it's like.
When time's precious, you only want to spend it. You don't want to waste it on people who don't deserve your time.
100%.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good message to kind of hone in on for those that are listening at home that do have teen girls, because that's such a hard time to navigate as well. And also as well, I think for me, knowing now that I've kind of got teenage girls in my life, it hasn't gone away.
No.
Whereas in my head, I was like, Got to get to 30. No, this doesn't ever change.
And it's so different now with everybody viewing your bikini photos and viewing you and, you know, like that's a whole nother thing, isn't it, that we didn't have to deal with when we were growing up.
Well, no. So there was different platforms and different areas of that, but it's like it's just amplified to the masses now. And it was interesting because the boys never had social media and I was actually called into the school a year and a half ago, to actually say like this is part of the bullying at the moment because the boys were being bullied because they didn't have social media.
Yeah.
And I stuck to my guns and I was like, no, like they're not having social media. The moment that I'm like, fine, you can have social media, you're like thinking you're jackass.
Yeah.
That's what their inspiration was. I'm going to be the next jackass. And I was like, you're going to break your neck.
Yeah.
That is not what you're doing. So like, sorry guys, you're off social media again.
Again.
Like,
Yeah. We talked about it, but we had an incident with grooming in the first month.
That's a conversation I'd love to have.
Instagram and, you know, we had to involve the police and then, again, we were back off Instagram. But their brains just don't have the capacity to understand the extremities of social media in its entirety. Like they just don't – they can't understand – They don't understand the predator side of things. They don't understand so much of it. It's scary.
It's scary.
To have it 13, an age of 13, that they're allowed to, you know, get on there and stuff, talking to the police, it's 16. Like it has to be, it needs to be 16.
And it's interesting when we talk about the fact that with grooming, they don't have the awareness. But also as well, I knew that my parenting and the way that I was parenting them was to make sure that they weren't driven by fear, because that's kind of how I was raised, was always like, if you do this, you will die. If you do this, you will die. Yeah. Everywhere you look is death. And so for me, I was like, I don't want the boys to be raised in an environment like that. So I never exposed them to all of the negatives, thinking I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, same thing. Kai had Instagram for, oh, I think it was right, maybe a week or two. He posted our geolocation, the girls' school uniform, and was groomed within, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And I'm talking wanking videos of a 50-year-old man sending it to him. And when I said to him, like, at what point did you feel like this was okay?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, well, I told him I was 14. And I was like, great.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, their brains, they just don't understand it. As much as you tell them, you can tell them, you know. That's what I try to say. Like, these people hone into where you live. They know which way you ride to school. They, like, trick you.
They know your little siblings.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Like, and they do trick you into thinking that it's, like, a girl that you like at school as well.
Yeah.
And that's also really scary, especially with Snapchat, because it's as simple now as being like, oh, I'll meet you at such and such bridge, or I'll meet you at this beach.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they just don't understand that.
And the young boy, that young Brisbane boy recently who took his own life because his friends at school, you know, tricked him into sending them a nude photo because he thought it was a girl, and then they shared it around the school, and he just thought he couldn't come back from that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you talk to your kids about how they would deal with something like that if something felt so overwhelming, you know, on Instagram or whatever, how they would deal with that. So they really need to be thinking and about everything that they're posting.
And it is also about that parent accountability as well, because it is like we're talking about social media. Okay, both of us went, wow, you're being groomed, you're straight away off of this.
But we were onto it. What about all the parents who have no idea what their kids are doing?
Yep. And I know that we were very much the same in relation to having their accounts logged in on our phone. So anytime messages came through, we could see what they were.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's not so much about not trusting your child, but it's about not trusting other people and the predators that are out there, because I can assure you that this is both of our situations that we were in with grooming within a matter of 2 weeks of our kids being on the platform, that it happens very quick.
Yeah.
And it happens in a way that is very much like they would not have any comprehension of how bad it was.
Exactly.
And so I think that's the scariest thing as well, is like there's literally people following them from school. There's people like seeing their every single move, and they don't have any
comprehension. No, I think that's an encouragement to mums and dads to, you know, as you may not want to be on Instagram, you may not want to be on Snapchat, but I think it's imperative. Like, you have to know what the kids are doing and how those apps work and how they're being friended by random people and stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of the girls that had reached out to my sons are not even at the same school.
No.
And so they're very much like, how do we know that's a girl from another school? You know what I mean? There's that whole level of like, it could just be another grooming incident. Like,
that's right.
Yeah,
and then you've got that, how many friends do you need? Like, do you just stay friends on there with the friends at school?
Yep.
Or are you allowed to grow your audience, you know, because then there's whole different careers that kids are doing in that. Like, do you want them to have an audience? Do you not want them, you know? When are they old enough to have an audience?
And that's the scary thing about it. And I think from like my perspective with the boys is I know how hard it's been for me. Like, every single life choice that I've ever made has been publicized, criticized, judged.
Yeah.
Everything that I have done has been somewhat in the public eye. And in the next breath, it's amazing for me. It's given me an audience, a platform to be able to help women, to be able to grow, to be able to have my business.
Yeah.
And so I have literally torn.
But like, you were a lot older.
A lot older. And I still haven't coped with it.
That's
right. So imagine being 15 and dealing with that.
That's right. Impressionable, like, trying to find out who you are.
Well, all we need to do is look at the child stars from like Disney. And that's a pretty like very clear indication of the fact that when kids are thrusted into everyone having an opinion of their every single move, and we do make mistakes. We are humans. So it's hard, because imagine having your mistakes aired, judged.
God. Thank God. You see that meme all the time, don't you? Thank God they didn't have social media or whatever back when we were kids.
Yeah.
All the things we did.
Yeah. I was saying before, like, one of my girlfriends was like talking about the boys at the moment. And she was like, I was doing so much worse. And I was like, oh, babe, like, that's not helping how I'm feeling. I'm literally at the moment just like calling my parents being like, what do I do? How do I do this? What do I do? Like, everyone that has any sort of advice, I am reaching out to. So I definitely appreciate your listening ear all the time at the moment. So thank you.
I think them being into their mountain biking and, you know, being out in nature, doing, like Maggie talks about, I love her chapter on surfing, you know, how much she loved her boys being into surfing because it was adrenaline, you know, but they also had their boards that they had to look after and, you know, they, whilst they were out in nature, they didn't have their phones on them and they were with their mates and, you know, lots of good to come out of that.
Yeah, 100%. Now, for those people that are listening at home, where can they find you? On Instagram, as we're like, don't get Instagram.
Oh, goodness. Blonde Nomads.
You will absolutely love Brooke's adventures and make sure that you do give her a follow before they head overseas because that'll be awesome to be able to live vicariously through you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on today's episode. Now, I do want to extend the opportunity for anybody that is listening at home to head across to the closed Facebook group, which is Flourish and Fulfilled, and leave us some conversation starters or advice for those that do have teens that are a bit older. We would love to hear any feedback that you do have, and head across to Instagram as well, which is just Flourish and Fulfilled. I'll speak to you guys next week.